to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
When we parent, we accept the awesome job of directly creating the kind of world in which we live, in which our children and our children's children will live. Most parents do a great job. Doing a great job of parenting used to be about following the rules and giving the right information to children and insisting that they do as we tell them. That's no longer a good way to parent because it's not going to prepare us for the kind of world that we're moving into. Now parenting has to be transformed so that our experience is different, and our guest today is offering us a framework for making sense of the many facets of this nearly overwhelming job so we can come closer to raising kids who aren't required to get over their childhood so they can find themselves the way you likely did and the way I did. Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and we invite you to chat with us on our emotionalpro.com radio page and our Blog Talk radio page. We also have today with us my co-host and wonderful longtime friend, life coach Dakey Fox. So welcome, Dakey. And Miriam,
hello, Eileen.
There she is. All right. So our guest today is Miriam Mason Martineau. She can be found at nextstepintegral.org. Nextstepintegral, I-N-T-E-G-R-A-L.org. She's trained in the areas of psychology, dance, choreography, and voice, and she works in private practice as an integral therapeutic counselor for adults, couples, youth, and children. She's also vice president of Next Step Integral, an organization that applies an integral perspective to parenting, education, ecology, and community. And we're going to find out a little bit more about what integral is about. And for the last 15 years, she's studied and researched how parenting can be pursued as an integral practice, which has led her to offering courses on the topic, working as a coach for parents, and writing a book entitled Integral Parenting, which is forthcoming. A true Renaissance woman, Miriam also leads workshops on authentic voice and movement. She's performed as both a soloist and in a variety of choirs, and she works as a proofreader and translator of university publications. She lives in British Columbia, Canada. And Miriam Martineau, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you so much, Eileen. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you.
Great. Well, we're really excited to have you on the show today because you're giving a powerful voice to something Dakey and I believe we've done for close to the past 40 years. We've raised six incredible kids along the lines that you describe in integral parenting. And so we're really excited. You know how it is. You work in an area and you don't know anybody else who's doing it. And then all of a sudden you meet somebody and you go, yes, we can talk to you. We're very excited about that.
Well, it's lovely you're saying that because I was looking over your website and I had a similar sense of resonance. I was like, oh, isn't that beautiful when people start, when you meet people, whether it's online in a virtual setting or in person, and they're speaking to such similar pieces of the whole parenting journey in their own language. So I very much echo that sentiment.
Yes. Well, so just to get us all on the same page, can you give us a brief, I realize this is quite a challenge, a brief understanding of what integral parenting is?
Yes, I mean, I appreciate that you say it's a bit of a challenge to do it briefly, and I will do my best. Let's just look at the word integral. You know, sometimes when I try and describe it briefly, I will put in the word holistic, because some people are a bit more familiar with that. So it's looking at how can we take all the different approaches that have been offered around the theme of parenting, becoming a human being, how we can accompany our children into this world and into the future that they will be living into and contributing to. How can we do that? Actually sifting through everything that's already out there, because there's so much information out there, there's so much research that's been done and so much experience that's been gathered. How can we do that and glean what is true and what is beautiful and what is good about it, and let go of, you know, all the pieces that maybe aren't accurate anymore or not applicable, that aren't pertinent to, like you said earlier, to what we actually need to be preparing our children for now. And so Integral really does that. It says there are many, many ways of looking at things. You can look at the interior of a child, which would include paying attention to their soul and their spirit, their minds, their hearts, what you can't necessarily measure from the outside, but what's going on and is a really key part of a child. You can also look at the exterior aspects of a child. So you can look at their behaviors, and you can look at research that's been done, how they develop and what kind of stages happen in their development. You can look at exercise and nutrition, and there's so many things that you can look at from an exterior perspective, too, that really make up a child's journey. And then you can include an awareness for the collective. So I was just speaking about the interior and the exterior aspects of the individual child, but each child, of course, is also enfolded in a larger collective, and that first relational field is really between the child and the parents. So an integral perspective also puts a lot of attention on that, what we call the we field, that space between you and your child, and then, of course, the culture at large and the meaning-making that happens, the values that are passed on, what priorities are held, what kind of culture we can even keep co-creating. So again, here it would be looking at what's been offered from the past, seeing what we want to include, what gifts and gems are there that we, with our conscious awareness, want to bring forward, and what parts we might want to change or evolve, or transcend, completely let go of and start and renew fresh. And then in that collective realm, there's also the exterior. So both the collective and the individual have an interior and an exterior dimension. And so the exterior dimension of that collective dimension would be, you know, the structures, the systems, the rhythms, whether it's daily rhythms, the educational systems, the family systems. So it's looking at all those exterior, larger structures that our children are embedded in, and looking at, are they conducive to our child's healthy unfolding and for them to realize their potentials or not? So that's a real brief kind of go around of the different pieces we look at. And of course, then if you think there's areas that will light up certain areas of what I just went over. So if you think of the incredibly exciting insights that we're getting from neuroscience, those are really insights that are coming to us from that look at the exterior individual child to understand what's going on in the brain, how does the brain develop. And it will often then give, I find, some beautiful affirmation to what a lot of parents intuitively feel. Because we as our children also have our own soul, spirit, intuitions. We've got our own individual interior that's present and alive in every moment. And so it's to go all those different areas and the areas of research and study, whether it's in the interior of the individual or it's looking at the sciences, which would be more in the exterior dimensions of a human being, or systems thinking. You know, all of those have brought forward some beautiful insights and some truths, some beauties and some goodness that can provide us with insights on how to proceed as parents. And yet, if we just take one of them, they're often partial. So what an integral perspective really attempts to do is to broaden as much as possible and to deepen as much as possible our perspective on life and on children and on humanity, on ourselves. So to go as deep, as wide as possible, and to look at everything that exists and also everything that's emerging. So it also really holds an attentive, listening relationship to the future. and then to work with discernment to go, okay, so there's many, many partial truths. So how can we bring those together to come up with an approach to parenting that can more fully meet and be present to the whole unfolding child rather than just to a few aspects of what a human being is and what a human being is becoming as they grow up. So that's as quick as I can do it, I think.
Okay, I just want you to...
A little bit.
I want you to know I've got it. It's in place. I have no problem. It's now, it's interesting because my oldest child is turning 42 this month.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was young, I was a single parent from the time she was 10 months old. And I thought, okay, well, I didn't always like the ways my parents did it, but how am I going to prepare this child? How am I going to know I'm doing a good job? How am I going to do the best for her? And it also occurred to me that the old system didn't work because in the old system, somebody would say, well, when you get in this kind of situation, you behave that way. And I realized that the world was changing so fast already that my children were going to be in situations that I couldn't even imagine. And I needed to prepare them for those situations. And that's what helped me to open up. Now, Dakey, before the show, you were talking about the impulse to evolve. Do you want to ask a question about that in terms of... just a minute, I want to mention, you used the word integral, which I prefer, but I looked it up, and it could be integral or integral, whichever you choose. So I'm gonna slip back to your way of saying it, Miriam, because I like it better. so, Dakey, you want to talk about this impulse to evolve and how that got us involved in this kind of parenting?
Well, you know, there are many layers, of course, to where I could go with that. And I think that the biggest influence on me that really encouraged me was, and I hear this a lot even as you spoke, Miriam, that what you're speaking of as integral parenting is really, it's an animation of quantum theory. And a whole different way of looking at life and the universe and everything. And it's more energetic than materialistic would be probably the broadest base that I could name. And so that was true for me. I matured and had my children at a time when, a little later than their birth, the Hubble telescope was going up. And people like Carl Sagan and Brian Swim, who is my favorite, mm-hmm. brought the cosmos into daily life, and it was an inspiration and a comfort to me to read about the quantum world because it informed the kind of choices that I was making. The way I thought was being met, as I find is true with your statements about integral parenting. And so for me, I came on to integral parenting or this other way because the world wasn't materialistically determined anymore. It was like I had to decide what was going on at every minute. It wasn't a guarantee of what was next. And this was before all of the more or less social upheavals that we've been seeing lately as this comes on and permeates into and through our cultures. I mean, we are in such a time of change that for me, I knew that I had to prepare my children to do what had never been done before. And these are the things that flowed out of how I raised them, which were, you know, it's like you speak of them, but they're so different from my experience. And I think right now that your teaching and what you're doing brings people or awakens people to that question. And perhaps they didn't feel as driven as I then did. But with your questioning and with your giving to this, you are an answer they didn't know they needed. And so this is why I celebrate you and what it meant to me to meet you. And, you know, I'm no longer just bumping along in the dark. It's like mm-hmm. there's a community of people doing this, and it's wonderful.
Well, I mean, what you're speaking to, Dakey, is, I mean, you really, when I hear you, I hear a pioneer speaking, you know, that you were hearing something that's emerging and ready and had the capacity to start putting that into practice. And I think that's really one of the beautiful things when you think of an evolutionary impulse. It's like you know, we can talk about this like a theoretical kind of conceptual thing, but really it's a consciousness, it's a readiness that's growing across the world in human beings. And some people might have it, you know, might have it kind of blossom in them because they hear it articulated and then it sort of lights up for them. And other people like yourself, you know, almost come through it in your own lives and then find ways that it gets articulated. We get very inspired by someone like Brian Swim, because really what he does, and this is a huge part of what we teach when we talk about integral evolutionary parenting, is expanding the context within which we're parenting. And you just described it so beautifully, that when we start doing that, it's like we're lifting the ceiling. We're lifting sort of the usual parameters within which we parent. And we then start having a much longer-term view of what this engagement actually means. And it gives us the capacity to see things beyond just the personal, to really expand sort of that canvas upon which we're painting when we're parenting. So, I'm just, you know, really deep appreciation for the pioneering you did, without maybe having so many of the ways of doing it formulated, actually, you know, figuring them out as you go. I just think that's extraordinary.
We did.
Yes, and I'm sure it's what brought you to it as well. And in fact, I wondered, how did you come upon this? Were you studying integral theory and then wanting to apply it at a family level, or what was the connection for you?
Well, you know, when I think back, if you sort of look back on your life and I go, what was the original impulse? And I can see it becoming articulated consciously in my awareness in my teenage years. And I didn't use the word integral at all, but what it was this deep yearning in my whole being to live life to its fullest, that I really felt this, and I don't know where that came from. I would probably say that's the evolutionary impulse alive in me. But I felt like, you know, the metaphor that came to my mind at the time was that we're often living in these rooms that have these 8-foot ceilings, but I felt that what we're actually invited to do as human beings and what we're challenged to do is to lift those ceilings and step out under the sky and really step into the cosmos, and live life, you know, really in that greater depth and greater breadth, sort of with that much bigger embrace and a stretching up and down, sort of just filling it out. So that's really probably where it started, and it really did feel like something that was just bubbling up in me as a yearning, as a seeking, as an interest. And then in my early 20s, I was working with, I've just had a natural interest, and I feel a passion and an enjoyment of being with children, because I feel like there's so much authenticity there. And I would love just being with them and start noticing what happens when you just take them seriously, when you see them not just as little people, but as full human beings who are also on a journey of becoming. So you hold those two perspectives, that on the one hand, they're still very young, they still have a lot of growing up to do, a lot of learning, a lot of integrating, a lot of differentiating, and at the same time, they're already completely whole. And so that wholeness and the becomingness aspect, holding those two together was, for me, something that just opened up some delightful interactions with children. And then I was also inspired by a few families who made parenting really their spiritual practice. They committed to bringing as much consciousness as they could muster to this really important task of parenting. So that was very inspiring. So as far as how I came to the integral perspective, it was, you know, feeling, living, being inspired by that through my life with others, with my husband. And then it was probably in my mid-20s to late 30s where we came across some writings by Ken Wilber, who's done a beautiful, beautiful contribution to the world by articulating the integral framework. And when we came across that at first for my husband, it was one of those experiences of feeling like, oh, there's an articulation of something we've been working on for years now that we've been feeling, and it just felt so resonant. And so that was one stepping stone. And then from there, we've just felt a strong urge to not stay in the theoretical with it, although the theoretical framing has been a huge gift, but to keep looking, okay, so how do we embody this? How do we actually live this? How do we bring it to life? Because that's where it's really going to make a difference. And so one of the areas that we've then put a lot of attention to is how can we do that in the realm of parenting, which I feel, you know, when you open that long-term view, it's really one of the most profound ways that we can contribute and have an effect on this planet in a sense of being in service to the greater whole.
Oh, that's beautifully stated. You know, you're reminding me, Miriam, that how I came to some of this was through necessity. I've had two profound experiences with very young babies, one 3 weeks old, just not quite 3 weeks old, and the other one absolutely newborn. And just, Dakey knows this story, so I'll give it to you very briefly. When my son was born, my husband was unemployed, and I was self-employed, and I didn't have a lot of savings, so I knew I had to go back to work. So I scheduled a class that I was going to teach. It was a class on anger for nurses. I figured I could nurse my baby in a class like that if I needed to, because I didn't have childcare. The long and the short of it is that I took my child with, you know, wind-up swings and all kinds of things to the course. And as I was nursing him on the first day, I promised him that he was my top priority and that I'd look after him, but I would be teaching the course. I was talking to this infant. And he woke up about an hour into this 3-hour class, and I nursed him and put him in his bed, and he had a colossal bowel movement, and I abandoned my promise to him. I let him swim in it for a while until the class was over. And then I went home all tired, and my husband came to me. My son's godmother was a medium, a psychic, and she said, tell Eileen to tell Jonathan he doesn't have to help her with her class. So the next day, I started to tell him that, and I also was in awe that he might be, on a soul level, more experienced and more knowledgeable than me, so I talked to him about that. And then when I got to tell him that I didn't want him to help me, I thought, I do want him to help me. I want him to sleep through the class and wake up when it's over. Mm-hmm. And that's what he proceeded to do for the next 3 days. But on the last day of the class, he woke up 2 hours earlier, which meant that he had to sleep 5 hours to get through the class, but I made the request anyway, and he slept all the way through the class and woke up 5 minutes after it was over. And that really brought home to me that there was somebody in there cooperating with me.
Yeah, you're talking about that paradox that I mentioned earlier. It sounds like to me, you know, that they are both a human being and a human becoming, that they're in very young bodies, and in some ways they still have so much growing up to do, cognitively, emotionally, physically, interpersonally, in all the areas. And simultaneously, there's this aspect to them that's whole, and it points to, you know, that term, the soul, the soul and the spirit of a human being, that's not something that needs to get constructed in any child, in any human being. It's already there. And its expression may well develop, and usually does, over a lifetime. But unto itself, it's already there. And I think when we have those moments of soul-to-soul recognition, when we touch in with our deeper self, with our real core essential self, and we can be in touch with our child in that way. And that doesn't mean they need to be conscious of it, because it can be just experiential for them. They don't need to have a cognitive awareness, but when we drop into that deeper self within ourselves and are present with our children in that way, that there really is, you know, you spoke of it beautifully, that there's this almost a timelessness that opens up, or a sense of, at a soul level, who knows? You know, who knows? We might be peers. You might be an older soul. You might be a younger one. I mean, these are places that are part of the big mystery in a way. Mm-hmm. And so I think holding just those two pieces, that there's a soul in each child, and then there's a growing human being. So, you know, that speaks to the place that as parents we do still need to be in charge and be their guides and help them grow up. Because I think sometimes if we just focus on that wholeness aspect, we can tip into You know what, sometimes people will say, well, my child's a little Buddha. And I say, well, actually, no, because to become an enlightened being, you need to first do the whole journey of building a separate sense of self and coming to a conscious choice of being present rather than a young child in a pre-egoic phase being present, but kind of being locked into the present moment. So, you know, if their diaper's changed and they're warm and dry and loved and cared for, they're happy. But when something goes off, they can be quite miserable. And to make a difference there, otherwise we kind of confuse things a little bit. And I think it's important for us parents that even when we're in touch with this soul-to-soul place with them, that we realize, and we're responsible, and you know, we're the ones making choices for them a lot of the time. Hopefully, from a place of very deep listening, and respect, and with dignity and integrity for the sovereign being that they are.
Yes, lovely. We're up to our first break, and when we come back, Miriam, I want to talk. I love your concept that this, in essence, this isn't a parenting method because. We can't do perfect parenting. What we are doing is perfecting parenting as we go along, that it's evolutionary. I want to talk with you a little bit about that. We're talking today with Miriam Martineau, who's a researcher and specialist in integral parenting, which is an approach to parenting our children that takes a lot into consideration and also gives them the opportunity to not have to get over their childhoods. She's the author in progress of a book, Integral Parenting, and she's leading the charge to evolve our world one small child at a time. There's more when we return. You're listening to Full Power Living.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Remember that our upcoming guests are listed at the top of the radio show page on EmotionalPro.com. Next week, we're exploring Chaney Weiner's ideas on how to manage your emotions in order to have more wealth. I want to thank you for listening and for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. And for that reason, we encourage you to listen to all the episodes of Full Power Living. So if you miss an episode of Full Power Living, you know you can listen to the archives, and you also can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Today we're talking with Miriam Mason Martineau, a woman of many talents who's gaining fame for her work with integral parenting, which is an approach to parenting that helps kids stay intact from the beginning. And it encourages both parent and child to evolve. And before the break, Miriam, I was interested, you know, I sometimes find myself getting annoyed when I read parenting tips, you know, these five tips will help your child brush their teeth better or something like that, when I realized that there's so much more that we could be doing with parenting. And I'm very appreciative of the fact that you talk about how parents are evolving as well as children when they use this way of looking at things, and also that we're perfecting parenting, we're not becoming perfect parents. What are your comments on that?
My first comment is, isn't this exciting? That's the first feeling I have. It's just like, you know, because it's obvious to us that children are growing up and developing, but we culturally have, I find, sometimes a bit of a misunderstanding about what happens when we're adults, is that we've all become adults, so we're all grown up. And really, I like to tease those two apart and say, well, you know, becoming an adult, you know, happens fairly spontaneously, but growing up is quite optional. That growing up is an ongoing piece of work, and it's a process of maturation that when you put this in sort of that larger cosmic evolutionary context that Dakey, you were speaking of so beautifully, you know, and this is where I find it gets so exciting, is like the journey is ongoing. It's not ever to get to a place where it ends and when we say, now it's perfect. Because really, while we all think perfection is often the state to achieve, the way I look at it from an evolutionary perspective is that's actually putting a cap. It's stopping evolution. It's saying, once you get there, there's no going further. And so I just love this notion of, you know, opening up that ceiling and standing under the sky as human beings, and also in our efforts of parenting, and realizing we have no idea how conscious we could become. We know that we can become more conscious in how we tend to our children and to ourselves, but we have no idea where that could lead us. And so part of saying perfecting our parenting is just to open that ceiling and go, it's an unfolding, to really feel into the nature of the journey as an unfolding journey, that it's step by step, and that it leads us to more consciousness, more integration, greater wholeness, greater love, greater compassion, and insight and wisdom, but we don't need to put an end to that. And I also think it's a really important distinction to make, because, you know, of all the people in the world, I think being a parent, as you and I would have experienced so far along the journey already, is quite a vulnerable endeavor, because it's one of those tasks in life where we care so much about doing it right, and at the same time, it's impossible to do it perfectly. It's, you know, we're actually dealing with human beings, and human beings are complex, and even if we have a framework like the Integral Framework, which can help us make a sense and pay attention to a lot of the dimensions of what it means to accompany a human being and to be one on this planet, I find it brings a compassionate regard when we see this as we're all evolving. We're both human beings and human becomings, and that applies both to children and it applies to ourselves. And so we don't need to add an additional layer of stress or self-doubt or guilt when we sort of hold this piece of, you need to become a perfect parent, because I'll always say, well, what does that even mean? To me, what I'd like to model for my daughter and what I like to teach is to be a human being on a journey, to be someone who's willing to keep growing up, to not put a stop to the growing up that happens, and to realize that the more I grow up in body, mind, soul, and spirit, the more I can help my child to do that. So to see us both in different places in our journeys, can we both be poised at our evolutionary edges? Can I help my daughter? Can you help your children, even if they're grown up now, in that relational field? Can we help each other be poised at, so what's your next step and what's my next step? And those next steps might be very different for us, especially if one of us is an adult, the other one's, for example, a two-year-old. But to both be sort of in this thrilling sense of adventure of we're growing, and even to convey that to our children. I'll often say to my daughter, you know, sweetie, I'm practicing too. I make mistakes. I try my best. I certainly should be better at this than you, you know, given any particular realm, whether it's, you know, being centered and grounded in a certain moment. And she'll call me and say, Mama, you're teaching a course on parenting. You're supposed to be patient with me. And I'm like, you're right, sweet. I am supposed to be patient, and I'm really working on it. I'm practicing, and sometimes I'm going to mess up. But to convey to her, too, this sense of being on a journey, and I think we can do that in very simple words, like I just scripted there a little bit, as I just say, I'm practicing, too, and I appreciate it when you tell me, you know, what you think and what you feel, and I'll ask you for forgiveness when I mess up. So I feel like, you know, sometimes even when we hear the word perfecting, again, it can kind of, it's like this stretch. It's this vertical, sit up straight, show up more, bring more consciousness, do your own work of integration, do shadow work too, like notice the areas in your life that you're unconscious of and see if you can integrate more of who you are so you can be more fully present to your children. And at the same time, there's this compassionate piece too of, yes, we're all growing up, and let's offer kindness and compassion and forgiveness and understanding to where we're at right now, both to our child and to ourselves.
Very, you know, you remind me, recently my husband's adult daughters have asked him to go into therapy with them, and initially he said something like, oh my gosh, they're going to tell me all the things I've done wrong. And I said to him, of course they are. That's their job, but you have to understand that the system is set up so that you don't do everything right as a parent. Otherwise, your children won't have anything to grow or bump up against. So go ahead, just joyously acknowledge, yes, I make mistakes, I'm not perfect, I'm still becoming.
Yes, when we just really feel into that, it's not as frightening anymore because we're not holding this piece of we're supposed to have arrived. You know, so that's lovely. I think a lot of it is, how do we relate to this more expanded context? Because we can do it in a way that's sustainable and joyous, that doesn't have to, you know, just feel more daunting. And at the same time, it does invite us to show up as fully as possible. So it invites us to not get comfortable in the sense of being stagnant, but to sort of stay alive and dynamic in this work of continuous growing up, and knowing that the more we can notice the aspects in ourselves that we've left behind, or places that feel frozen, or that we've negated or repressed, or that we just haven't brought to life yet, the more we can do our own work, our own inner work of scooping those places back and bringing them to life and integrating them and becoming conscious of them, the more we can help our children grow up whole so they don't leave parts of themselves behind as they grow up. So I find parenting such a beautiful motivation for us to keep doing the work that I feel we're invited to do anyway as human beings, because it's not just about us, because our work that we do to continue growing up will have immediate benefits for our children and long-term ones too.
You know, we were talking about that a little bit, Dakey and I. Because our children are now in their 30s and 40s, we have the opportunity to observe them being adults, participate in their adult lives, and also some of them have children of their own. And what is really exciting is to watch the almost exponential leap forward that the grandchildren have been able to make when there are two generations of people being raised in this way. They know themselves well, they're conscious, they are helpful, they're expressing their talents, they are doing well in their lives by their own choice, they're involved in their families, they're getting awards, they're making music, whatever it is, they're just doing beautifully.
Well, and I mean, it's so true. What a blessing it is to witness that, because there's always a feeling in all parents I speak to, and certainly also in my own experience, is, you know, that it's an experiment. Like, you just don't know. I mean, you really do the best you can, and you hope and you pray that it's going to turn out well. And I do think we live in an extraordinary time where we have insights now at our fingertips that we can access, and then ways of framing it, like the integral evolutionary framework, that can really help us. But ultimately, it's still, there's still so many times when we feel like we don't know. You know, we don't know how it's going to turn out. So it's so lovely to hear sort of this long-term view that you're holding, not just into the future as an unknown, but also now looking in a way backwards and looking what is, and seeing the fruits of the work that you've done with your children and now your grandchildren. It's just so beautiful to hear. And I agree with you. I think when we do this, that the evolution that happens, it's not just 1 + 1 + 1. You know, that it has this this exponential feel to it.
Well, and that exponential field is really a whole real piece of what's going on here, because of the way life grows and expands. It is a field that is the Mandelbrot geometries of 1 + 1, and then 1 + 2, and 2 + 3, and it grows incredibly fast. It's the spiral that is the way the conch shell grows, and the galaxies are spiraled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't help thinking, as you've been speaking of this these last few minutes, that, you know, at the time when I had to choose to engage parenting, I wasn't prepared. I was a single mother, and then found out I was having twins. So it was really significant. Like, you know, look down at these tiny little five pound babies, and went to change their diapers. I went into a much higher, deeper state, and it was because I was incomplete. It was because I was still a child myself that I struggled with the apparent responsibility of now being in the, you know, the guardian of these souls. And I felt so inadequate, but I had already made a choice that realized that nobody else could tell me what it meant to be a human being. So I entered into a partnership in that moment and in that choice to be a parent. And that partnership was so profound in how it's played out, because what I really wanted only became clear to me when they were like 30 years old. And it was that I wanted them to experience being a human being and make of it whatever they would. And it didn't matter to me what choices they would make, as much as that they would know that they had a choice and how to wield the power of their own being in the world. And be whole. And that's more the flow of energy. I wanted to convey what I was experiencing, which is I'm having a human experience. I'm not a container as much as a conduit for something larger than myself. So to me, that's what the evolutionary part of this is, and that we are able to be an expression of creation itself. And who knows what will come next? It's the either or is behind us now, and we're into the and, dot, dot, dot. And that happens whether the child is an infant or is an adult, because all of us are at that place where the more we're aware, the broader our choices and the resources that we can respond to life with. So that's all that was going through my head as you were speaking there, Miriam and Eileen. It's just, it is so exciting.
Yeah, and you know, and I think you had mentioned, Eileen, earlier, you know, how can we raise our children so they don't have to get over their childhood?
Yes.
It's, you know, again, that could cause some stress in parents, like, oh my God, how am I ever going to do that? My mother, she's a family therapist, and she often jokes. She says, you know, parents maybe should put a bank account aside, especially for their kids' therapy.
I know where we're going here,
We often chuckle. We thought, well, that could be a good idea. But needless to say, you know, but what you're talking about, Deki, what I'm hearing here is also, you know, two things. Is one is what we really can do as parents is contribute to a solid foundation in our children. That you know, it's really, can we offer in their early years and as they grow up, can we offer sort of that, the soil so that then they can grow up into the unique flowers or plants that they're going to be. It's not about us even knowing exactly what, you know, what they're going to become, but it's being attentive to, you know, from this place of deep listening and respect for who they are, allowing them to be who they are, guiding them both with that attentiveness to this is a whole human being and this is a human becoming, so they'll need structure from us, they'll need guidance, and yet we do that from this place of deep listening to who is this child in essence. And one term I love and I use a lot is parenting is more about helping them realize their potential rather than going with what we see, you know, as just normal behaviors, really sort of, again, lifting the ceiling, going, what is the potential of a human being and what is the potential of this particular child or the particular children that I'm responsible for? So holding that question of potential as an ongoing inquiry, as a question that I can hold every day, and I love to offer this as a practice in the courses we teach is, you know, one of the practices we can have with our children is just to keep this question of who are you, to keep that alive in us, keep it alive towards ourselves too, to see us as unfolding human beings, and with our children, who are you, to every day be attentive to who are you and who are you becoming and how can I best serve you so that I'm helping provide a strong foundation for you to become, you know, who you truly are and to unfold your very unique potential.
That's I love that. And, you know, as I'm listening, I'm thinking that it sounds may sound like to you who are listening to this show, it may sound like a lot of work. And in one way it is, but in another way, it's so exciting and so fulfilling and such an adventure that it doesn't end up feeling like so much work. And that, I think, is a real hallmark. We're to our second break here. You're listening to Full Power Living, where we're talking with forthcoming author of Integral Parenting, Miriam Martineau, about how we can change all of humanity's future by the way we parent our children. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com. Miriam Mason Martineau is Vice President of Next Step Integral. She's our guest today. We're discussing her ideas about a different approach to parenting our children. And Miriam, before the break, you mentioned that you teach courses, and I believe you're in the middle of teaching a course now called Parenting a Spiritual Practice. And I wanted to ask you to tell us a little bit about the course and when you're offering it again and how people might find out more about it or register.
I'd be happy to. Yeah, it's been an incredible experience. It's the first time we've run it as an online course. We've my husband and I have taught it locally in British Columbia for many years. And so this has just been extraordinary because we've had parents from 21 different countries join us. And so there's just been this palpable sense of a learning, practicing community and supportive community that's forming through this work. So it's been an incredible delight. And to find out more about the course, anyone is invited and warmly welcome to go to integralparenting.com. So that's integral, the way Eileen spelt it at the beginning, I-N-T-E-G-R-A-L, parenting.com. And you'll actually see there an overview of the course that we're running presently. And there's a sign-up place there, so if you'd like to be informed of the exact date that we'll be running it again, you can sign up. And then we'll be in touch that way. We're going to run it again in the fall, so that's what we're going to do. We haven't got the exact date set. My guess is it's going to be in October, beginning in October. And, you know, when we have conversations like this that to me are just so delightful, there's always part of me that's aware of people listening going, okay, so this sounds good, this is inspiring, but how do I do this? Like, how am I going to put this into practice? You know, how am I actually going to bring this into daily life as a parent with my child? So that question of the how-to, I think it's right at the forefront of many parents' awareness when they hear of, you know, any kind of inspiring version of what parenting can be. And so what we've aimed to do with this course is really to ground these ideas into, okay, so how do I actually do this? This sounds great. This sounds resonant. Now what am I going to do? And so it's a fairly intense course, as in there's a lot of condensed material, but because everything is recorded, you can go at it at your own pace. And we run through the main areas. I can maybe just summarize quickly. The first one is really how do we live into a more expanded context, which in the words that we use would be an integral evolutionary context, discovering what that means, and then what that actually looks like right in a daily parenting moment. So that's the first topic we look at. And then we go straight into the we, so the relational field, the relationship between myself as a parent and my child, my children. And we do that very much at the beginning of the course from a strong sense that the we, the attachment between parent and child is really, that's like the soil. That's really the foundation of foundations when it comes to parenting. And that, you know, you can use any kind of parenting technique, tool, method. If you don't have a strong, healthy attachment relationship at the base, none of it's going to have traction. So it's a really foundational piece that then we spend some time looking at how can we actually nurture and support and co-create a strong, healthy relational field. We also look at integrally informed practices around discipline. And then there's a whole section in the course where we look at the you, so the child, and look at how can we discover and meet each child as fully as possible. So looking at all the different dimensions present in a child, at temperament, strengths, growing edges, learning styles, and I share six core practices in how we can be more attentive and present to each child. And then we also look at one of the roles that I think, if anything, is, you know, becoming more challenging as a parent, and it's our roles right at the interface between our children and the world at large. Because, like Eileen, you touched on in the introduction, for one thing, the world's changing fast. There's many beautiful things happening around the planet. There's many, many things that are not, they're not conducive for healthy development in a child. And so our responsibility, one of our responsibilities as parents when we look at this whole endeavor in more conscious ways is to really become conscious of what our child's ready for, to be exposed to and to assimilate and whatnot, and to make some choices there. So we do some work around conscious languaging too. And then we do one of the key pieces which the integral perspective really brings to light, and which I think is often sort of put separately. So you have, you know, courses on parenting, and then you have courses on personal growth. When you do the integral piece, you bring them together. And so this one is really about the key role of I, my gift and my work as a parent. So there's a whole section on how can I keep growing up and waking up as an adult, as a parent, to be more fully present to my children. And then we do another whole section on co-creating culture. And that one's very present in my mind right now because we just it's this week that we're running it. And it's really about looking at what we touched on briefly earlier. It's looking at culture that we live in, what's been passed on to us, and feeling into the freedom and the opportunity to look to the past, to include the gems and the gifts from the past, but not to be defined by the past. So not to sort of engage in what I call secondhand parenting, but to do what you two, Eileen and Deki, have done so beautifully and powerfully, is to see what a pivotal place you stand at as a parent that you can undo, almost like a chain reaction that will happen over generation to generation if we don't make conscious choices in different directions. So it looks at this whole place of co-creating culture, looking at parenting like an art form, where you're in an emergent stance, where you take those gifts from the past, but you're also listening to inspirations and whisperings of the future, and then you're co-creating in present time with your family. That's sort of towards the end of the course. We look at that, and then we weave it all together. And, you know, my big commitment is really that it's applicable for parents because, like I said, it's the how-to that is the big question when we have inspirations. We'd like to do it differently, but we don't have many models. We don't have many examples. It'd be nice if the two of you could sort of, you know, go visit different parents' homes and model what you've done. It sounds like it's just been so beautiful and meaningful for your children. But a lot of us don't have that, so it's to offer a lot of practice sessions too in the course, so it really comes to life. That's one of my big commitments, is that it doesn't remain theoretical, because I think where it's going to start making a difference is when we actually practice it.
That's really great. You remind me that years ago when I was teaching a course on conscious parenting, my children were like 3, 4, and 5 years old, and I would bring them with me to the class, and the people in the class would go, "Oh, you're brave to do that." And I said, "Well, there's nothing like, you know, demonstrating right here how this all works." And yeah, my children were always very cooperative. Sometimes they acted up even.
Right, which is helpful, because then you can show how you can be present and centered in those moments.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Deki, I know that co-creating culture is like somebody handing you the best ambrosia in the world. Do you have anything you want to ask or say about that?
Well, you know, I do. and it's around something that I've heard you say, Miriam, which is this view of the traditional hearth around which family occurs. You know, it's traditional because in the past it was a fireplace where they cooked food and warmed themselves and talked and all kinds of things. So that traditional hearth, in this way of seeing, becomes the earth itself. And one of the principles that I knew in self-definition by the time my children came around was that the earth is a living being. And I had put together every prayer I had about anything that concerned me, and many things did, and realized that the awareness of the earth as a living being was something that would answer eventually. People would come to an answer for their miscreations if they operated from that understanding. So when you said traditional hearth becomes the earth around which our children become all children, I just lit up, and it is that line will live with me now. It's coalesced into a major truth. And it speaks to me about how it's no longer about our nuclear family, because it's not the nuclear age anymore. It's the quantum age, where our family is the human family. And that shift to collective well-being seems to me the real key to integral parenting and its progeny, as it were, that will come to that in this practice of just being with ourselves and noticing and respecting all life, including one another. So that was the key that came up for me as you said that and as you describe your course, which is fabulous, because all you have to do is be with someone, and they, in being with you and just talking about where we're looking from, creates that collective well-being and mutuality that in our separateness we've lost touch with primarily.
Yeah, gosh, you touch on so many pieces there, Dakey.
She does that all the time.
We could obviously talk for hours and hours. You know, one piece that comes to mind as you're speaking is just this whole idea of village, and it's a well-known saying at this point, that African saying, it takes a village to raise a child, and I really hold village in that larger sense of that bigger collective, and I think, you know, whether we're a parent or not, and I mean I'll often encourage people who are thinking about becoming a parent, I'll say, just listen deeply within, is this really your vocation? Because there's so many other ways to serve this earth and the unfolding universe, and we also need lots of aunts and uncles. so to really honor the many, many different paths of, in quotation marks, parenting, of taking care. So that's one piece that comes to mind, is just the honoring and the acknowledgement of the importance of the much larger village, which is all of us together on an evolutionary journey, and to enfold our children in that. And the other thing is, you know, I find it so fascinating with children because, you know, we're talking about becoming more environmentally aware, for example, as adults. And what I find fascinating with children is it's so easy for them to take care of the earth. All they need to do is feel connected with it. That we don't need to teach our children to care for something. All we need to do is connect them to, you know, the earth, to each other. As soon as a human being is connected, is attached, is delighted by something, it's natural to care for. And, you know, that I'm just always noticing that with 7-year-olds, 6-year-olds, they would never throw trash onto the earth. It just doesn't even occur to them because they're raised with a sense of connection with it. So it's just one small example for me that points to, you know, there's a simplicity here beyond the complexity. And I'm not talking about a simplicity before the complexity, so it's not to shy away from the breadth and the depth and all the beautiful dimensions and aspects of what it is to be a human being and a human becoming. But it's to notice that we can hold as many of those as possible and keep exploring and discovering more, but there's a simplicity on the other side. And I've noticed that time and time and again with children who are parented in a way that where they have a strong, healthy attachment with their parents, where they're honored for who they are and who they're becoming, especially in the early years, you end up with children that are actually quite easy to parent. It doesn't mean that parenting's easy, but I don't know how many times I've experienced that myself and in other families, that when we bring this conscious, attentive approach to parenting, in many ways, yes, it takes a lot of us, especially in the early years, but the job is a lot easier down the road. So there's many gifts also, which for me tie into some of that simplicity.
I have a quick story to go with that, Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
May I?
Please.
I met my husband's daughter, Robin, when she was 8, and I moved in with what I knew how to do as a parent as I became her step-parent. And sadly for her, her mother died when she was 12, mm-hmm. and I ended up adopting her. Now, when she turned 13, she came to me and she said, "You know, Eileen, I've been thinking about what kind of a teenager I want to be, and I've decided I don't want to be one of the difficult ones." And I said, "Well, that's really wonderful." Mm-hmm. And I told her father, and I said, "We'll see, because the teen years are long and hard, you know, lots of hormones." Well, about three times during her teen years, she got kind of testy. And I'd just look at her and I'd say, honey, I thought you weren't going to be one of the difficult ones. And she'd say, oh, I forgot. And she would change.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, it just speaks also for the power of having a vision for oneself. And I mean, that's part of what we speak about when we talk about co-creating culture in our families that's alive and real and dynamic. It's like, what kind of families do we want to become, and what kind of people do we want to become and be? And to be able to articulate that and to really feel into the freedom to do that with the awareness that we have and the consciousness that we're growing into, what kind of spaces it opens up in us is just so beautiful in this example you're sharing of this daughter that you adopted.
Right. Yeah, well, she's something special. She's working in the jungles of Ecuador, bringing maternal health to people there.
Wow, that sounds incredible.
Yeah. And she's turning 25 next week, so we'll say happy birthday, Robin, also.
Beautiful.
Well, you know, I think I'm going to speak for you here for a second, Dakey. It's been our great, great pleasure to be able to talk about these ideas and explore the ideas of integral parenting with you. It's like we've said, it's so exciting to be meeting people who are on a similar path, and as we're all working together to transform ourselves and evolve. And so I want to thank you for what you're doing and also what you're bringing to the world, and also for being with us here today. And I certainly hope you'll come back when your book is published and let's talk more on this. And Dickie, what do you want to say?
Yeah, thank you for the moment, because as you said that, I just want to name that it brings tears to my eyes, and I mean that in terms of an overflow of emotion and joy to imagine how many people, Miriam, you are introducing to the joys that both Eileen and I have experienced with this kind of fulfillment in relationship that comes from integral parenting. Thank you.
Well, you know, just thank you, because I echo those sentiments. I feel such a heart warmth, such a deep encouragement and heartening that comes from having these kinds of conversations. That same for me, you know, to know that you two are out there, that you're existing, that you're doing this beautiful work, and that you have such a deep and authentic care for the, you know, the future of everyone, really. So my blessings and all my gratitude, and I'd love to continue the conversation.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time or noon Eastern for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. And in the meantime, you can listen through iTunes or on the archives if you've missed any of our shows. And also, I want you to look for announcements from me. I'm participating in an exciting telesummit coming up in September on emotional intelligence. I'm talking about what it takes to raise an emotionally masterful child. And one lucky participant in the telesummit is going to be winning 3 hours of individual or family coaching from me, a coaching tutorial for if you're a parent, to help you parent in the ways we've been talking about today. So Robin Johnson of Fresh Talk Media is our producer for today. And thank you, Robin, for your work. For now, Dakey, you want to give our tagline?
Yes. Pay attention to what you want to become, not what you want to overcome.
See you next time.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.